This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Hey, oh, here we go. It is Friday, and believe, even though it's a special kind of Friday, not that we don't miss him, but Dr. Tim Slecker is on the road for an important part of education. His daughter is going to an internship in Wyoming, and they are on the road, you know, heading across the country for good reason. What an important thing to kick off a summer for her continued education. But as Tim would say, it's TGIFBP. Thank goodness it's Friday at Busted Pencils. And we got a special Friday coming up because we've had a doozy of a week. We've had some great guests. We've had some great topics, amazing callers. So listener out there, if you want to call 855-752-4842, come break down the week with us. And I say us because tonight we have producer Anya and soundboard chief of all things engineering, Jess. All week long, Anya and Jess have been here with us in these roles. And so if we're recapping the week, why not chop it up together? Anya, how's your Friday going?
It is a lot better that I am now that I am here on a TGIBEPF. Thank God it's Busted Pencils Friday, something like that. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. I think Tim changes it up every week and I try and follow it. But I was just going with TGIFBP. That's a Tim special. Another one from this week as we're recapping, you know, colloquial phrases from the Busted Pencil show. Man, I was dying because I don't know if you're a close listener, but Tim, a couple of shows ago, he said, you know, we're out here spending money like sailors.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I was like, come on, look, what? This is out of context for me. I think I know it. I was Googling stuff. And then we had a guest last night who also talked about spending money like drunken sailors. And
exactly.
I was like, what? I think that generationally is out of context for me. Maybe for you, Anya and Jess. I'm not sure, like, if you were following it. But, you know, why not? You have some fun colloquial things that Tim will certainly have dropped if he were here tonight, but we're keeping the TGIFBP alive and well. But it's Friday, and it's Friday in May. We're coming up on Memorial Weekend, which, you know, listener out there, if you get to enjoying your Memorial Weekend with folks and having a great weekend. Certainly the three of us will try our best to do that. But I'm thinking about this week. And a lot has happened. I'm going to come back to it because on the 17th, I believe we had the 70th anniversary of Brown versus Board. So we'll get on that a little bit as we unpack the show. But this week we had great guests. If you didn't get to tune into Monday's show, listen to us again on Memorial Day if you get the chance, because we're going to rerun part of it. But the whole thing is we had a really great guest. Chris Saldana, Dr. Saldana from the UW-Madison, talking about school finances and how schools funded, you know, and he really kind of dropped it like, yo, we are not adequately funding schools, especially with lofty goals of providing all students with a good education. You know, we're scraping for crumbs and we shouldn't be. But in addition to that, in the unequal school funding, you know, we need to do better. And he kind of broke down how that works. And so if you're curious, like so many, I know listeners, and I often am like, hey, where's the money come from? Who's it supposed to go to? And how's this whole thing work? Dr. Saldana broke that down, you know, on Monday night. So we talked a little school finance and with that, the inequity and currently how it works, which tied nicely into, you know, other topics that came up this week. It's almost always part of a Busted Pencils theme, it seems like. Well, because, you know, we're here in Wisconsin and a lot of listeners from Wisconsin, like Sherry saying hello tonight. Hey, Sherry, thanks for joining us on TGIFBP. Regular listener Sherry saying hello. We say hello back to you. But, you know, for Wisconsin folks, our guest last night, Rod, he talked about, you know, when you're deep in it. And what I mean by it is the privatization of schools. Like in this ideal sense, we talk about schools being a bedrock and a mainstay and an important facet of democratic government. of a community. They are where we learn to be with one another, where we learn to contribute to our economy, where we learn how to treat ourselves and one another. And as we privatize that, you know, we leave that up to outside interests, how much money we want to put into that, what kinds of things we learn and teach. And, you know, I think most of us on Busted Pencils come to the point where we're like, that's a bad idea. We should have a strong say from our governance, and education is a state, right? We should have state to state some strong say, some legislative, you know, support, not harm, but support to what happens in our public schools. Well, school finance, we learned that, like, they're not actually putting money behind that support. Okay, problem number one. Problem number two, we heard from Rod, and we've heard it time and time again, there are all kinds of proposals, not only to harm the funding, but to harm the access and quality that are of education in our diverse communities, hitting hardest in rural and urban areas, right? And so this has become a problem. And I'm going to come back to that in the show, especially when we're, you know, on the 70th anniversary week, essentially, of Brown versus Board, which banned legal segregation. So here we are 70 years later, where we hopefully were able to say things like, guess what? We have desegregated schools, and we can provide equal and really quality education to all children. We couldn't be further from the truth right now. We're not funding it that way. We still live in really segregated communities. Sadly, and we talk about this as something that we give a lot of attention to, racism is still really strong and alive, as is, you know, strong elements of classism. This unequal school funding that we talked about this week, and then vouchers came up, and these kinds of ballots and these kinds of measures to privatize education hurt people in our communities, especially in, and I hate even calling them this because it's such a pejorative to really amazing people who make up an important part of our community. We call it low income, right? As in, and you know, and it's sort of this deficit idea that we map onto as though, you know, families and children in this system have a lot of options. They don't, right? And we know that the economic stress on our communities is growing. And by golly, it ought to be the role of our government to not make that a lived trauma for so many people. So I'm talking about a lot of the themes from this week, but it's Friday, TGIFBP. Listener, give us a call, 855-752-4842. You can drop comments. You can, you know, catch us on the YouTube, catch us on the Twitter, which is actually X now. But you know what I'm curious about? Anya and Jess, what's some of the things that stand out to you from Busted Pencils this week? You're usually front and center, but we don't get to talk to you that much. So let's talk tonight.
I know, we're kind of we're the quiet two behind the board, trying to make sure that you guys can be heard throughout the state and throughout the world, as far away as Tim would say, Finland, far away in exotic Finland, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah. I think some of the things that stuck out to me this week, just across our guests and across our topics in trending educator news, is that I kind of, just as you've said in the preamble here, they all come back to a very almost, I hate to say simple, but they come back to a really simple core concept, which is if we don't put money towards it, it won't work. And that doesn't mean putting it out into the free market where this idea of a school has to fight on its own, like the same way that the concept of a can of chips would have to fight for its own place in the free market of things we buy. Education is a right to all of our kids, and it's not up for the debate of, oh, would we like to purchase it in this form or purchase it in that form? It's supposed to be, not to say one size fits all, but everybody gets a size that fits. And what's crazy is this country has the ability, the money, the time, theoretically, the passion to do it. And what we've heard from our guests and from our topics is that at so many turns, the choice to not care about these things financially is made. And There's no coming away from that when you don't have any capital to push something forward.
Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah. Just looking at where our country is putting its dollars, it's showing where it's putting its values. It's disheartening. It's frustrating. It's infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we can do better.
Right.
We know exactly how we can do better. And what I love is that we're actually coming together and we're having conversations with people who know and saying, these are things that we can be doing better in order to not just get kids to score higher on a test. That's not what matters. That isn't what education is for. I think one of the things that's really stuck out to me this week is listening to this conversation of trying to dig into, what's the purpose of school?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we sending our kids to school? What's the point? When my kids are asking me, why am I here? I want an answer to tell them, but that's better than, well, because your parents are paying money for you to be here, right. So you need to be here. Because that's not a satisfactory answer. No. And I think we're getting closer to an appropriate answer, that it's about making humans who are a little bit better developed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about making citizens who are a little bit more involved, who care about something bigger than themselves. And we can get there.
Yep.
We know how to get there.
And especially on the local level, to say Wisconsin, when we're looking at such a big surplus and we say, oh, where are we going to get the money? Well, we have it. We have to put it into play. We have to make the purchases or fund the people, pay the salaries that our school systems need. And we've made the choice. Our elected officials have made the choice to not be involved in that. And that is beyond disheartening. It's deeply depressing, because the solution is here and the choice is being made to not pursue it. So there's our super uplifting thoughts, Johnny.
Well, I love it. And you know what? It reminds me of a phrase that a friend over at UMass talked about in a discussion, where he was sort of talking about, you know, why aren't we making more headway in diversity and higher education and these things? And Dr. Damon Williams gives a phrase that rings true to, I think, what we're talking about here. He said, commitment without currency is counterfeit.
Yeah. Ooh,
and this
good.
Is, ooh, that's, I love a good sharp, right? Razor sharp sentiment. Commitment without currency is counterfeit. We have the money, you know, Anya's bringing that in here. Jess is saying we have the purpose. We don't lack a direction and compass. We have the purpose. We have the money. And do we have the commitment? Because if we're not putting the money to that purpose, then the commitment just isn't there. So stop faking the commitment, you know, and get to it. We have the money. We have the know-how. We have the goal. Why aren't we doing it? Hey, we got Educated Educators talking education tonight. Special guests from behind the boards, Anya and Jess tonight, joining Johnny here. Listener, give us a call if you'd like to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. When we come back. Oh, yeah. Hold your hand over the flame. Feel the heat. We can feel the heat tonight because we are cooking here on TGIF BP. That's, thank goodness, it's Friday with Busted Pencils. And we have quite the crew here today. We always have a crew. But tonight we also have Anya and Jess from behind the boards joining the conversation. And we had a comment on the break from Sherry. It seems like this has been going on forever. Sherry, yeah, right? Here we are on the 70th anniversary of Brown versus Board, which banned legal segregation, was an effort to start desegregating schools officially. We had civil rights movement. We have had decades of research and information that says schools are still separate. They're still unequal. We need to do better. And by golly, can we do better? I mean, we got into this whole sentiment of hearing, this is a theme throughout the week. Like, do we really care? And if we really do care, let's do something about it. We had a text from, I think, Cam from Nina, sending in an awesome text. It said, too much of school doesn't have enough time to show how something is applicable to real life. I also wish school was the place for people to learn self-awareness and more civics classes. Last thing is that the schools don't have effective programs for online use. I just hate how much money is needed that no one wants to pay. Camp Amen from Nina. Just kicking it down. I agree with you more and more. We do need it to be relevant, timely, something that is you know, important to young people who are learning. And all of those things could not be more important to the whole development, which educators amplified on Wednesday. They always bring that in. Like, how are we thinking about the whole child and not just about test scores like just dropped and that knowledge drop just last segment? The thing is, though, one thing before we get going into even more. Yeah, Cam from Nina. Awesome. Sherry. Yeah, it's been going for far too long. I am hopeful for this generation who is living their lives and going to school amidst the largest social uprising of all of our lifetimes, right? All of our lifetimes here. I bet there are listeners who remember Brown v. Board and civil rights. And I actually think the social uprising of this current era is larger. But we'll see. And I hope for change, because young people that I keep meeting time and time again in classrooms all over this country, rural communities, urban communities, even those suburbs that have it, where they're really insulated from so much of the lived experience that our rural and urban communities have right now, all of these young people are saying, enough, let's go. We know the world we want. We're going to demand it. And I sure hope they continue to. Okay. And Sherry says she remembers that. Sherry, we appreciate you being a listener, because intergenerational conversation is how we don't repeat the events of history, right? So, and speaking of that, where can we have good intergenerational conversations? I just got to drop it in there, because I know my friends at Minocqua Brewing Company are like, hey, Busted Pencils. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Now, talking about intergenerational conversations and listener participation, we got Joanne from Madison on the phone. Let's get Joanne on.
Thanks so much. Busted Pencils had an amazing week. One of your topics was integrating mindfulness and wellness training into the classroom. And as an older individual, something rings hollow about it. Something is a little strange about that type of a juxtaposition. And I'd really like to hear the positions of the younger people on your panel about what they would feel about having a wellness as a topic, basically, in everyday classroom settings. And just to add a point here, businesses are doing this as well. There are a lot of businesses that have some type of wellness and also mood modification right in the everyday participation of workers, you know, as call agents or customer service agents and all that they would have some training in how to modify themselves. But again, in this intergenerational mode, I'd really like to hear from the younger people. Thanks.
Well, let's hear from it. Anya, Jess, take it away. I couldn't agree more. Thanks, Joanne.
Ooh, Joanne, you are opening my
very specific
box for both of us. We've both, so Anya and I have actually taught together, and a lot of our professional development has actually been on how to bring mental wellness techniques into a classroom setting, how to actually teach explicitly these mood regulation, these behavior regulation techniques to young people, mm-hmm. not for the sake of managing a classroom, although it certainly helps in regulating a yep. classroom, but because these are skills. These are things that not everyone is born knowing how to do.
Right. No one is born really. You know, the way we know how to self-regulate is to scream and cry. And I keep being told you can't do that in public at this age. So we have to develop something beyond that at a certain point.
Yeah. I keep having to talk to security guards and pull Anya out of situations. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
So these are skills. These are things that people actually need time and practice in order to learn. So I am a huge, huge proponent for teaching these social emotional skills, whether it's just a couple minutes mm-hmm. at the top of every class, just to say, okay, this is one regulation technique that you can use in this type of situation, or even just building something in, just having an opportunity for reflection, teaching people how to reflect, to say, this is something that went well. I want to keep doing this well. Mm-hmm. This is something that didn't go so well. I want to learn how to do it better. Mm-hmm. Having that ability to look at something and say, I understand how this went. And I think I know how maybe I could do it better. It's such a valuable skill for people to have.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll say this too, to not get too long-winded on it, but you know, we both came out of a very experimental institution, and I saw through that institution how even there were ways where we were being taught about emotional management, but then not employing things that, once we heard there was emotional distress, actually changing the classroom environment. And that was the difference. The idea of, look, we're not sitting around saying, how do you feel? How do you feel? Just to pass the time. If 80% of your students come back to you and say, I don't feel good today, maybe this isn't the day for new curriculum, new information. It's maybe a good day for either a review or a rest. And we would find that those students go much further in the long term with it.
Oh, yeah. When you actually change what you're doing based on the actual experience of the people, it's incredible how that works.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, all right, everyone's tired. Everyone's feeling down. Great. Here are some Holocaust studies.
Yep. Which is what we used to cover. So, yeah.
Yeah. So just having the, you know, using what we're learning and it, use what you learn.
Yep.
I love that. And Joanne, the caller, and thank you, Anya and Jess, for being part of this conversation, because it's where the magic happens. When we have this kind of conversation about these things as educators, talking education, about teaching, about what this is all like for us and our experiences and how we're, you know, putting it to practice. And too often, right, we see it sometimes superimposed, like, hey, we're going to do these mindfulness things so that you can get back to taking tests, or you can, you know, you can read more. And I love what both you, Jess, and Anya said. Anya, especially when you said, you know, what a novel idea when we actually listened to how we were feeling. Again, back to my continued inspiration from generations that are going to change this world, right, is that the emotional awareness is there.
Tim, we're out of time. Johnny, we're out of time.
Oh, we are back. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education, TGIFBP. Thank goodness it's Friday, Busted Pencils. It's not just your typical Friday, though. It is Anya and Jess from behind the boards joining the show tonight. We have great callers. We're just recapping the week. We're chopping it up as we do on Busted Pencils. Awesome drum beat on that intro song for the second half of the show. I love it. Amps me up every time. The bumper music is so important because it sets the tone, and then we let it rip. So we were talking about, you know, caller Joanna called in and talked about, you know, the whole mindfulness topic, which came up on Wednesday, and Educators Amplified. Teacher Hallie was on the show, and we were talking. And Joanne mentioned that it seems paradoxical, and I want to come back to that point, because what Anya and Jess talked about was really like doing something different in schools, like acknowledging that we all have emotions, and that being in tune with them and in sync with one another and being able to communicate where we're at with our emotionals, where we're at in our feels, because that is actually linked to how we do well together and how we learn. And here comes the paradox, right? I love how Jess and Anya are talking about it. I love how when we talk about its benefits, we think about things have to be kind of, like Anya said, changed in schools. We did it a little different on the days we needed to do things differently, because we were able to communicate and read one another's emotional needs. We have physical needs, we have emotional needs, we have all those kinds of dimensions of our learning. Every Wednesday, Educator Amplified comes on to talk about that. Like, imagine doing school where we thought about all those needs. Things would look really different. Also, kind of tying it back into this whole idea, we'd fund things differently. We would not be cutting these aspects of our curriculum and our staffing. We would be kind of building out there. These are high return, like highly effective practices to actually, you know, commit to, back to that comment, commitment without currency is counterfeit. So I like that Joanne, though, reminds us, kind of for a lot of us, this seems like counterfeit, because they're like, we are going to do mindfulness-based practices in schools. And in fact, this is going to raise the test scores that we're going to take today. It's like, hold on, you just jammed these two things together that don't go with one another.
That's not the point.
Yeah.
Exactly. Take it away. Like both of you have stuff to say about that. So I want to come back to like that paradox, that whole, like, come on, don't do that to us.
Well, you know, we're not trying to make professional test takers. That's not the point of school.
No.
But that's what we're making it seem like.
Right. I received so much more development from teachers on test taking strategies than, at least in my time being in public school, than how to regulate yourself strategies, how to get through the hard days, how to get through the hard test, not just by being told, like, well, usually on a multiple choice test, one of the answers is a joke, two of them are really close, and one is meant to be a throw off. And it's like, what if the whole test makes no sense to me because I just came into school from a home that was unsafe? Like, yeah. Go ahead.
What do I do when I'm facing a complex situation and I have potentially four options in front of me? None of them are jokes. None of them are clearly wrong. All of them could be right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not teaching kids how to analyze those complex situations and check in with themselves and go, what are my core values? What are the things that I need? What are the things that I want that I want to be moving towards? Mm-hmm. And how can I get there? Instead, we just say, well, you know, if you can't tell anything, just be consistent. Choose C.
Yeah, exactly. Which is not a safe piece of advice for life, because there will be times where option C is, I don't know, you know, park your car without putting the parking brake on. And that's just not a good choice. And they should be able to know that. But I'll tell a little story just to talk about maybe the paradox and why I think this isn't a paradox and why it is so needed. When I first started at this more experimental institution, I was given a book on social, emotional, spiritual learning specifically. So an extra S in there because we were a religious after school program through the Reform Jewish movement. And I found the book really kind of useless because to me, everything in it, all of the big points in it, were quite obvious. There were things like check in, be aware, breathe. And I was sort of like, what is this training that I'm receiving? This is so intrinsic to who I am as a person. But then I started being put in meetings in bigger groups where it's like multiple schools from different states that were also working on social emotional. And not to stereotype older teachers I was working with, but some older teachers who are in these same things would be handed a situation like, little Timmy has come into the classroom and he's crying. And you ask him what's wrong and he very defiantly says, I don't want to tell you. What are you going to do? And, you know, I'm working, it's like, well, he doesn't have to tell me, but let's have him go to the quiet reading corner, or maybe let's touch base with a parent. Like, let's see what our ideas are. I saw a lot of older educators, their most empathetic response was, go sit in the hall. And I was really horrified by that. It put into context a lot of the poorer teaching I had received as a young person. But it also reminded me that what felt so intrinsic to me felt intrinsic to me because I entered the workplace of teaching, still viewing myself as a student and as a young person and as somebody who was on their side. And I don't know if for these older educators, if they started like that and were forcibly divorced from that feeling of kinship with their students, the feeling of we're on the same team, or if potentially they come from simply a generation where that was just not an idea at all. So here I was going, I don't need that. Like, I have this. I did still need it. But then really understanding, like, no, there is a huge generational difference between, you know, well, go sit in the hall with your feelings if you're going to, you know, decide to have feelings in my math class, versus you're a human who's in my class. Now what? He's starting from that instead. So, yeah.
It's almost like humans, it's not facts over feelings.
Right.
It's facts and
facts
feelings.
And feelings. And sometimes your feeling is a fact. It's a fact that I feel sad about this. It's a fact
Absolutely.
That I feel, you know, that I was wronged because the other student took my scissors, even though we were sharing. We have to work through why that's the fact of your feeling. But the fact is, we're doing okay here. Yeah.
Oh, I love this. Jess and Anya and callers and commenters got a text here from Brandon in Asheville saying, Anya and Jess killing it tonight. And I couldn't agree more. Like, really, this is a good, this is the kind of conversation where on Busted Pencils, we can get into those nuances of, I love what you're both saying, both in story and then in, you know, I love a good phrase, Jess, fact and feelings. I love it because the two coexist. And then your example, Anya, right on the money. How realistic, how relevant. We all are human. We all have feelings. We all are informed by facts. The two get all mixed up. I call it the mixer. It's all in our heads and in our bodies. And if we're not learning how to be attuned to that in both our own bodies and then the bodies around us, how effective, and I hate to make it about this because it's not the only thing, but one dimension is how effective are we then in community?
Yeah.
Right? Because ultimately, that's what it does come down to, is how do we work with one another? Now, that's a slippery slope because I get to that whole thing again. Is the whole point of this to get more work out of us? I don't think that ought to be the point. It's to have that balance, that health. But at the same side, yeah, I would love to be in a contributing in my passion and my career and you know, my economic contribution to the community in a place where people could communicate with me their needs and my needs, recognize those balances. I love it. You know, the constant reminder that our students aren't robots. We are not robots. Even though if Tim was here, he'd say, but Johnny, AI. Tim, I'm taking a little dig because I tell you what, in the end, right, we are human. We are living, breathing beings. We have facts that inform us, that shape how we see the world and the actions that we have, but we also have feelings, and those two are not separate entities. They coexist in the mixer, mm-hmm. and they come out. All behavior is a form of communication.
Sure.
Anya, I couldn't agree with you more. You were reminding me of so much of my school years spent in the hallway.
Yeah.
Or down into, you need to go down to,
did you get sent out into the hallway a lot, Johnny?
Oh, so much. I mean,
hey,
I could tell you too.
I
can remember more of what the hallway looked like than the classes I was actually in.
Yeah.
I know that hallway
inside
and out. Is it though?
Well, I mean, you were denied the opportunity to be in those classrooms and to learn with your community, with your classmates, because you were deemed a disruption. You were deemed a problem. You were being a bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would tell you quickly, I learned.
Yeah.
That there was a pathway outside of the punishment. Like I chose the hallway often. I was like, oh, I'm about done with this.
Well, sometimes, you know, we need a little hallway time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, all behavior is a form of communication. The kinds of teachers that weren't able to read that communication and think ahead of me. Hey, Johnny's not going to get to the hallway today because we're going to have him in class because we're going to do these kinds of things. Right.
Yeah.
So there were plenty of times I earned hallway. But I'm with you both. Like, it shouldn't be the goal.
Yeah.
Also, kind of like backstory, why I became a teacher is because of all the bad teachers I had. I had some good ones too, but a lot of them, I'm like, wait, we could do this differently? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll say as a fellow hallway kid, I have so many memories of being sent out to the hallway for, and I don't know if it's just still how my brain is or the version of being a kid, but I look back and I go, I don't know why I was sent to the hall. I remember... Actually, in fourth grade, I was sent into the hall because my dog passed away that morning. And the words from my teacher were either get it together or don't be in my classroom in the fourth grade. And I just remember looking back at that and kind of going like, oh, yeah, so many of our fellow kids when we were kids and so many of our kids today are being subjected to adults who don't have the bandwidth for those emotions. Lots of reasons for that, of course. But additionally, a lot of our kids are being taught very early, hey, pipe down. Stuff those feelings deep down in, and we as adults understand where that can lead, whether it's substance abuse issues or further emotional issues or whatever it is. It's not the lesson that in this day and age we should be teaching. It shouldn't have been taught when we were kids, but the only thing we can do now is plant the tree today because we didn't 20 years ago.
Absolutely love it. And we got a comment from Jay on the YouTube, school became a negative experience for so many children. Of course, treating them with empathy would be a good thing. I mean, here we are. We got a listener saying, come on.
Yeah.
This is common sense,
yes.
Right? But we know school seeps in, and we're talking about, we're really asking for schools to and for the people in schools, for teachers, We know you're doing a lot, but people funding schools, people making decisions about schools, people working in schools, you know, let's do this differently. Let's really do this differently. Let's have commitment with currency so that we're not doing counterfeit.
Right.
Borrowing from my man Damon here.
And that commitment doesn't have to look like, I think a lot of people see this idea of social emotional learning and kind of equate it to like, this is hippy dippy Montessori gone too far. What are we doing? But I really can't express that the best versions of the social emotional learning we did was really just talking to a student saying, what's on your mind? Because I can tell it is not the core subject material. And if they felt safe enough to share that or through their behavior, what they shared, we adjusted for that day. They said they were sad. Their dog passed away. Unlike my fourth grade teacher, I'm going to say, I'm devastated to hear that. Let's talk about that. Maybe you don't need to be in the classroom today. Maybe we have a day where you go play with some toys or you get picked up early. That's not inherently a punishment. That was the most profound stuff, was just working with our students. And that's not hippy dippy. It's very concrete and very real. Or at least it was for us when I was in education. So
maybe the hippies were onto something.
There's a lot of good music
and some really good messages mixed in with that. You know, and I'm thinking about, we're going to go to break, but when we come back from break, I'm thinking about the flag that gets flown, the bumper sticker I keep being behind in traffic that says to F your feelings.
Oh,
and,
man.
You know,
we definitely need to talk about that.
I'd like to come back with that, and I'd like to reclaim a different F word, maybe find or feel your feelings. Let's go. So when we come back, busted pencils. Oh, yeah. I love to ride that one out back into our last segment here on TGIFBP. Got a comment here, Cam, from Nina. I love it. I'm going to edit it slightly, but thank you, Cam, for your very truthful text. They ask what's with kids these days, but it's like, beep, you raised these kids. Cam, I agree. Like, together, we talk about this in education. Like, we are a community. Teachers, this will resonate with you out there. We essentially are co-raising children together. That is something I know we think about children as property way too much in this country, you know, as belonging to parents. And I do believe parents have, you know, a lot of rights when it comes to like, hey, what's going on with our kids? But once they get to a certain age, and even when they're younger, they actually have rights themselves, and they have feelings and needs and all kinds of things. I know Anya made a joke about, you know, when we're real young, we cry and we kick and we scream and we don't really learn to self-regulate. That's something we're socialized into. And sometimes we forget about that. And hey, I like Cam's reminder. Come on. It's on all of us to do this work. We can't just point and say, teachers, fix this. It's all hands on deck. This is important. Like coaches, people in the healthcare professions, daycare worker, everyone that's anywhere a kid is in our community, it's all of our responsibilities to honor those children's rights and to help mold and make the community the citizens we want our communities to be. That's why I get excited about young people who are echoing. I know we made fun of it a little bit, like the hippies in the past generations, but hey, you know what? Like, we're kind of amplifying some of these messages that have been around for a while. And I get excited because more and more young people are saying, enough, let's do this differently. And getting to have this special show tonight, wrap up the week with Anya and Jess. Anya and Jess, man, thanks for joining us on here, man. This is great.
Yeah, well, we would have been here anyway. No,
that is true. We would have been here anyways.
But behind the board,
you can just hear all of our comments that normally we just making to ourselves.
Yeah, that we just keep secret. But it is. Thank you for having us, because it's a weird feeling to be a board operator at this age and hear so many conversations that are just like, well, the young people. And we're both just kind of sitting here like, young people here. Anyone have a question? And then people just kind of go back to discussing amongst themselves, what could it possibly be?
What could those young people possibly be thinking?
What are they thinking? And it's like, I would love to discuss with you, but I'm not going to just jump out of the woodwork and be like, hi, you look old. Could I tell you about my thoughts? Like, that's really rude. So it's nice to have these moments where someone goes, oh, since you are in the room, would you like to say something? So it's fun.
I love it. And before we went to break, you know, I was reminded about, we were talking about feelings and I think feelings and facts, the F's. And it reminded me so often of that phrase that's getting, you know, really like hurled at us almost everywhere we look. And I think it's, you know, it's a problem but it's intentional, because if we F our feelings, right, it's saying like how we feel doesn't matter. And that couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, it's itself paradoxical, because you're sharing your feelings, you're forcing them on us and telling us that like our feelings don't matter. It couldn't be more paradoxical, to kind of call it Joanne pointing out paradox of how often mindfulness and wellness is sort of just like commitment without currency, you know, but I'm thinking about that and pushing, possibly like reclaiming that. Let's tease that out. Like, find your feelings, feel your feelings. What are you thinking, Jess and Anya?
Well, I love feel your feelings.
I love that too. And I think too, to talk to the type of person who chooses that sticker, I definitely have days, especially when I'm overwhelmed, overstimulated, overwhelmed with the totality of world events or of personal events, where my feeling towards the world, towards every other human in the world, is F your feelings, because my feelings are so big, I don't have space for yours. That's where mindfulness comes in, is to literally step away from the situation and say, I'm not helping anybody by being upset. I'm not myself or who I'm advocating for, whatever it is I'm doing. I'm going to step away. I'm going to feel my feelings so that I don't feel I need to F your feelings. And you can feel yours too. So I would say, you know, alongside that sticker, I wish they came with a little booklet maybe on like how to feel your feelings and how to work through them, rather than putting them on your car and saying, you know, middle fingers up to the world. I don't care about you. I care about you. We should try to care about each other. It's very hard when people put up a front like that. But
I also really love find your feelings.
That's good too.
Because so many times we're feeling overwhelmed. And at first, the only thing that we can really concretely say is, I feel overwhelmed. I'm feeling too much. And that's when we get really tempted to say, F your feelings, F you, and close ourselves off. When in reality, if we dig deeper, a lot of times we're feeling anxious. We're feeling scared. We're feeling hurt. A lot of times our bodies are telling us that we are feeling tired and exhausted, and hungry, we have physical needs that aren't being met. So if we say, find your feelings, we can say, I hear you, and I hear that you're feeling a lot of big things. Do you know what you're feeling?
Yeah. Have you found the root of where this pain is coming from? Because I can't, unless you're going to talk to me about it, I can't help you. And you're not going to feel safe talking to me if you don't feel safe feeling it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. And why not, like, schools, come on, why not have people who are professionals around this more present in our school spaces for both the adults and the children learning? I love it. I love find your feels, feel your feels. I think we're onto something here, Jess and Anya. We're co-authoring it as we do the show with our listener out there. So let's think about that. I don't even know, maybe a shirt or a flag that we can have to help counter the indignance of the F your feeling movement. Mm-hmm. I love it happening right here, Ground Zero on TGIFBP. It's going to be Memorial Weekend. Hey, if you're in Madison and you can, get out to the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
And if you're not a beer person like me, no one ever says it. They have great seltzers. I had their seltzer when I was there, their choice seltzer, lime and grapefruit. I got to throw it out there for the non-beer people. They are good.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a wicked good seltzer. They have an amazing soda. I mean, I love orange soda. Their soda was so good.
It was really good.
They have really good ice water on tap, and they serve cold brew.
So really good ice water.
Yeah, good ice water. Hey, this has been a banger of a week. I couldn't think of a better way to close it than with you, Anya and Jess. Appreciate you both. Listeners, thank you. Busted Pencils, it'll be a great week next week. Tune in and listen. Thanks much.